Morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. It's quite a short reading, so I'm going to read it very slowly. I can't help but think there's a message here for our children. They should really be here to hear this, I think. So maybe you might want to mention it later on. There's a special message for fathers too. So Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Well, I'd like to say morning, good morning, and happy Father's Day as well. Especially to all the dads here today. It's a good day for many reasons. And as Steve spoke a minute ago or a while ago about we've been looking through James and, I better introduce myself. I'm Jeff. Whoops. Jeff, I'm the senior minister of Life Anglican Church and I love being here, all right? I just think it's great. And you have a great pastor who I just think he's doing a brilliant job. So whatever he's doing, just keep supporting. Steve's doing a good job. All right. Wisdom. Wisdom is something we've been looking at. I'm actually reading a book on wisdom at the moment in leadership. And it's something I really want to acquire. And as we've been looking at James, we said, Lord, ask for wisdom and you'll get it. My 30-year-old son thought I needed wisdom. He gave me a book on wisdom yesterday for Father's Day. And I thought, oh, okay. He's thinking of my, growth as a Christian. No, it's wisdom for hen keepers. I've got 7 chooks. He thinks I need to know all the wisdom about bringing up my chooks. Maybe he's not putting me on par on how I brought up him and my other kids, but he thinks I need wisdom. And today we're going to be looking at wisdom, the father factor in wisdom. And it's a topical thing, so we're just jumping around, looking at, what does it mean to be a dad and what God has called us to do. So, a dad-son or a dad-daughter relationship are always powerful and always will be. And hopefully, most of the time will always be a powerfully good thing. Sometimes, as in cases of some of you, it's a powerfully bad thing if you've had a bad experience with your dad. But this is, it's for sure, if you want to get a conversation going somewhere, you want to tap into some strong emotions, just talk about, ask someone what their thoughts are about their father. And if they're honest, it gets things going. And I want to say before I'm talking about fatherhood, first of all, in terms of fathering, I still have a long way to go. All right? You think, I'm grey and a bit older than some. And, I've got a long way to go. And I can speak through my failures about fatherhood and fathering, and I need to keep analysing who I am. And I want to administer 9 statements this morning. They're fairly quick, so that's all right. But about fatherhood and see where we go as we look at the wisdom of all this. And I want you to answer true or false to these statements. So let's go through this material together. The first statement. Fathering skills come naturally. Just make a few babies, follow your intuition, and all will be well. True or false? False, isn't it? Fathering skills do not come naturally to most of us. And sometimes following your fatherly intuition can end in disaster. Sometimes your fatherly intuition will be skewed by unwise people in your life. Maybe you've had an unwise dad or a grandfather or father's father. The best fathers I know admit that they don't know from the word go, and they need help. So if you asked other dads probing questions, they would ask maybe in their life group, you know, what's the go? I'm having trouble with my kids or whatever. They're learners, a good dad. Many good dads will probe the Bible. And as we've heard in the Bible so far this morning, some good things, life lessons for dads and families. And I want to commend and salute the dads here this morning. It's a big call. It's something God has put on your shoulders if you're a dad. And I want to encourage you and honour you this morning. Second statement. Fathers play a more important role in the lives of their sons as they do in the lives of their daughters. True or false? This is a toughie. What do you think, Dave? False. Yep. Okay. As someone who has 4 children and 2 of them are sons and obviously 2 of them are daughters, I'd have to say, stand from a mountaintop and say, well, the world needs to have dads fully engaged with their daughters. I've learnt how key dads are in raising daughters. Fathers raising confidence in levels in their daughters. Fathers teach daughters how men should treat women. Fathers demonstrate to daughters how life can be lived with God at the centre, whether you're male or female. And the list could go on how important a dad is in the life of a daughter. Fathers play a massive, important role in the lives of their little girls. Of course, the same could be said of sons, and fathers play a very significant role in the lives of their boys. Dads teach their boys that there's more to masculinity than bravado or drinking beer. Dads teach sons to respect women and also to protect those in our community who might be defenceless. And this is a standard operating procedure for men in our community. As I was growing up, I didn't see a great deal of my dad. He was a tradesman and he worked in a factory and he had to raise 4 children and he didn't have much money, so he did a lot of overtime. And so he had sometimes on a weekend or sometimes in the evening, he would come and work in his garage. And I remember my dad could easily fix things that people couldn't easily fix. Yes, my dad shaped things and made things. And I would often spend a lot of time with my dad in the garage, in the shed, at the bench. He'd teach me about tools. He'd teach me about how things are made and put together. He'd give me, you know, we'd laugh about a few things as a father and son might do. But I want to say, as he shaped steel and wood in that garage, he also shaped his youngest son in that garage in many respects. I trained as a TAS teacher a number of years ago, and it came very easy to me to teach woodwork and metalwork and engineering. That was just because my dad had taught. Actually, I didn't take those subjects at school, but my dad taught me in the garage at home. So, yes, I taught high school for 5 years and loved it. My dad shaped me. And as an adult, I remember when I used to go and visit my parents and wherever they lived. And after a while, Kim would be with my mother and the kids would be in the lounge room and they'd be playing. And I'd go off with my dad for about an hour. And we'd talk. We'd go into the garage. We'd have fun with the dog or we'd make something or fix something. And we would talk freely. We would bond as men. But the point I want to make is that dads have a massive impact on their sons and daughters. Fathers need to be engaged. Engaged in bringing up their children and directing their children. And there's no replacement for a dad at all for a boy or a girl. There's no replacement. Third statement. Stepfathers have significantly less impact on children than their biological fathers. True or false? False. Thanks, Bruce. You can't actually make a comment like that, really. Did you know the male in the family that really is the greatest impact that has on someone in their growing up years is the male who is there? Stepfather or biological father? It's the male who engages the children, who has the impact on the children. It's the one who listens carefully, who loves deeply. It could be a stepfather. It could be a biological father. It could be a grandfather. It could be a youth group leader. It could be a teacher. It could be a coach. It could be anyone. Take it from me. If you want to spice up a pretty boring dinner party and you got to the salad, ask around who was the most significant or extraordinary loving person in the first 15 years of your life. And you'll be surprised. A lot of them don't say parents. They say youth group leaders or peers or a Christian leader of some sort or a teacher or a counsellor. The point is that no adults get impact points without significantly engaging in the lives of the children. Your genes or your bloodstream buy you very little when all said and done. So the key to having impact on a young person is engagement. It's loving deeply. It's listening slowly. It is serving them. It is being there for them. That is someone of influence. Statement 4. A father's attitude towards morality, work, play, and racial diversity have a lifelong effect on the child. True or false? True. Yeah. Let me give you some idea of this. A father doesn't actually have to say much to influence their children. I remember the first 15 years of my adult life, I voted for the same political party as my dad. Because that's what we did. Dad would talk about politics. We'd have politicians in our home. We were very much a political family. My dad influenced me in my politics. He didn't say, Jeff, you got to vote these people. By the way, my dad doesn't vote that politics anymore. But anyway, it did influence me even as an adult. And that's just politics. You know, what you do and say influences others, especially in your home. Stephen Poulter wrote a book called The Father Factor. He's done years of research regarding on how someone's relationship with their father affects their performance in the marketplace. And some of the things are quite surprising that he's come up with. Very specifically, he says that a father who is a super achiever, you know, that super achiever type, will have a particular effect on their son or daughter as they approach their work ethic or everyday work. If you have a father who's one of those time bomb kind of dads, who explodes in a rage and others, just want to get out of the way, he said that has an effect on that child when they're in the workplace on how they deal with their bosses in the course of time. A father who's compassionate or a mentor type, it has another effect on their adult children, where they treat peers and relate to their bosses in a conciliatory way in their marketplace situation. Just make no mistake about it. Kids are deeply affected by a father's attitudes and workplace and money. I know as a dad and as a grandfather, I want to say up front, I feel pretty powerless at times, okay? Especially with the kids. And by the way, when we get together on Thursday nights, we have family nights, the focal point is pick on dad, all right? So you get the general gist. Play out on dad's corniness or whatever he does, okay? Or tell a story about what dad did wrong and we all laugh at it, okay? Now, I go along with that and I particularly play up to it. But sometimes you do feel powerless. But don't mistake it. We have enormous influence, gentlemen. And I grew up in a working class environment. I attended Granville Boys High School. I don't know what it's like now, but it must have been one of the worst sort of public high schools in the state when I went through. And Granville Boys had a high ethnic constituent there. And my friends in my class were Italian or Greek or Maltese or Ukrainian or Croatian or from the UK and some Aussies. And we were all good mates. We really enjoyed each other. We had a lot of fun and laughter, usually at the teacher's expense. But what I noticed, as we progressed through the years of high school, there started to be some clear divisions in my classroom. And you know, as someone who was an Aussie, I was surprised by this. Why is there huge hostility between the Croatians and the Ukrainians in my class? Aren't we all, you know, the same? And you've got to understand, in a boys' high school, that became quite fierce and violent in my classroom. I mean, where did this come from? And the things that surprised me was this animosity was generated from their homes. Their parents, particularly their father, would tell of the atrocities or you know, animosity that they had as an ethnic group back in their home country. And they would tell how much they hate the other ethnic group. And before long, that influenced their sons. And they hated that ethnic group. Yeah. It didn't come from the classroom, that animosity. It came from their dads at home. And so men, make no mistake, have an enormous influence on their children. Statement five. A father raises children consisting with the teachings of Scripture and all will be well. True or false? False. Of course, yes. And here's the deal on this one. The Bible teaches that if a father raises children according to the Scriptures, if he models the character of Christ, the likelihood of his children growing up in the faith is significant. Well, that's a maxim when we say, here, train up the child. All right? It's understandable that that happens. But it's never a 100% sure deal. Why? Because our children and we are autonomous beings. And we're capable of making some terrible choices. And the Bible refers to this as folly. Moments of utter stupidity. We're capable of that. Proverbs 10:1, it was read to us, it said, "The wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. This proverb talks about the joy that a wise son or a wise daughter brings to their parent and the grief and the heartbreak that foolish decisions bring to their parents. Now, I've been involved in education for many years and as a leader of congregations, but I want to just say a bit about parenting and my upbringing. My parents became Christians after I did. I became a Christian when I was a teenager. So I grew up in a family that were not Christians. And despite the fact that I was young, I did some really dumb things as a teenager. I'm not going to tell you them, all right? Yep, we all did, didn't we? See, here's the situation. My parents weren't Christians. And I was. And I did some dumb things. Stupid things. All right? I'm capable of folly. Now, my parents loved me and they wanted the best for me and they taught me a lot of good things. Yes. But I was the one who made the mistakes. I was the one who did the dumb things. And I often did it out of rebellion or stupidity or just went along with my mates. And I can recount the number of times, many times, when I did the opposite to what my parents wanted me to do. And so it's got sometimes, you know, our decisions are very little to do with our parents because we choose to be rebellious or naughty or have folly. I was blessed to be in the company of Peter Jensen this week. Peter Jensen is our former Archbishop. And he spoke about a time when one of his children, he had five children, he still has five children, and came home as a teenager and said, look, I've been contemplating suicide. And you can imagine, whew, the suicide thing comes up. Wow, that's a pretty high thing. I'm paying 100% attention now. And the natural reaction of Peter, as his son spoke about that, was, what have I done wrong as a dad to have my son contemplate suicide? Yeah, but it's natural for a parent to do that. Peter did say he was so glad that his son did come home that night. And after many years of rebellion, that son actually is now a very fine Christian man. And God was very, very kind to them. But I want to say, it's natural for a parent to think, what have I done wrong? When we do wrong, we got to take responsibility as children of our own mistakes that we do. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, children often do zigzagging things too there. It's not just, you know, on off. You know, then growing up, they do a bit of swaying between right and wrong and following Christ and not. And we do stupid things from time to time. And that can affect our life and decisions, and irrespective of our Christian heritage or our parental influence that we've had. So it's important, friends, to see that there's so much parents can do, and we have to leave it up to our children and for God to work in our children. We need to, if you're a parent, and Dad, I'm speaking to you especially this morning, you should be on your knees praying for your kids. And don't hold back on it. My wife Kim and I, we pray for our four children every night. By name. And we pray for their spouses and our grandchildren by name. Every night. But I want to say something. We pray, since they were this big, that they would find a Christian partner in life. Because all the teaching, all the modelling that Kim and I and the Christian community we're part of can be undone simply by choosing unwisely a partner in life. So it's right to pray for our kids and their relationships. All right? Because there's so much outside of our control that we have. We have one daughter who is not married, and we still pray that she might find a Christian man in the course of time. So pray for their safety and protection, but pray that they won't step into folly and they'll choose wisely. Sixth statement. Fathers who make major investments in their marriage are simultaneously making a positive investment in their children. True or false? True. Right. When children see you playful, when children see you are romantic with your wife or ladies with your husband, when children see their parents interacting like that, yeah, they might get grossed out, and you know, the older they get, you know, I don't want to carry on, go away mum, or whatever. But the more you are committed as husband and wife, and show affection and genuine love and a Christ-likeness, the kids are observing that, and they're watching you. And that every time your kids see you kissing your wife, that's modelling to them how they should relate to their partner in time. Being, you know, affectionate and caring and loving. It's an investment in their marriage, and it could be a very deep subconscious thing, a level that they can't quite sort of work out, but it will will have enormous effect in the course of time. Take your anniversaries. And your special time together is important in building your marriage. Every time a father makes an investment in a marriage, it pays dividends in the lives of their children. They see up close and personal what a loving relationship looks like. And by golly, they need to see that with all the fractured relationships around. And it sharpens their own discernment tools that they should be making in following God and relating to others. Seventh statement. A father's provision for his children is significantly more important than a father's affection. True or false? Not sure? Say it again. A father's provision for his children is significantly more important than a father's affection. True or false? False. Good, good. The Bible teaches that we must provide for our kids. Okay? We'll do whatever we can to provide. Yes, I want to say provision for our children is very important. Very, very important. But the Bible also exhorts fathers to pour out love and affection on their sons and daughters. If I had to rank the priority of the two, provision of affection is, between provision and affection, affection is way over provision. The power of a father's affection is almost incalculable. The lack of it can cause deep soul damage that can be very, very, very hard to repair. The power of a father's affection is huge. And every kid's heart starves for it. Do. Dad doesn't have to get it right. You know, you'll never do that. But a kid can see, if you're trying to put yourself out there, it might be awkward for you dads to show the lead and love and affection. Kids see that. They know your heart. And so, affection is really, really important. Let me tell you, some years ago, I made a resolve that I would show affection to my dad. So every time I see him, I don't see him that often, but he lives outside of Sydney, I make sure I affectionately greet him. And I made sure my four children, when they're young, they would go up and kiss their grandfather and warmly greet them or you know, farewell them affectionately. Because you know what? I knew my dad wanted that. And I knew my kids needed that. You know, I want affection from my dad too. I know my dad's 88. He's got a terminal illness, so he's lucky to live by Christmas. But I still want him in my life. I still want him to think well of me and to, you know, engage with me. So it's not just lilies here. It's fathers of all sort. We need to engage affectionately with each other. And it's never too late, dads, to improve your ability. Take a little risk to convey love and affection to your children or your grandchildren, because they will eat it up, and it's never too late. Eighth statement, wounds from a father can never be overcome. Wounds from a father can never be overcome. True or false? False. That's right, false. I shout that from the mountaintop. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I want to note something here. The power of the healing of our Heavenly Father is far greater than the wounding power of any earthly father. That's no small claim, it's no small truth. There are testimonies I know even you have here this morning about how God has been good at you and healing you. The advantage of ministering in a church over a number of years is I've seen firsthand the healing power of God with someone who had a real lousy dad. And it's great. It's great that you can be in a church like Life Anglican Church here, where your relationships are real. When you go to a life group, you can talk to people and share about what you're doing and what's happening in your life. Yep, it is healing. Christ's healing is great for us. Well, we can stop the broken baton being passed on too. If we've had a bad dad, we can choose not to be a bad dad to our own children. And I'm so proud of you folk here who have not had a real positive experience of your dad, but have chosen to invest something positive and healing in your life and in your children. And healing comes through God. Well, the healing power of the Father is greater than the wounding power of your earthly father. Finally, as children reach adulthood, the father's affection and approval is no longer critical. True or false? False. Yep. This one surprised me a bit as I sort of thought about it. You know, it's not when a dad signs off when his son or daughter leaves home or is graduated or is married or whatever. That doesn't sign off on our relationship as a parent. It is different, but it doesn't sign us off. And one of the surprises of my fathering is that my sons, who are 28 and 20 and 30, still want to be with their dad. Sure, they've got their strong opinions and they might differ with me in some areas. But they want approval. They want me to say, Greg, you're doing a real great at IT there at the school you're doing. Or my son, it'd be really great to, you know, you've made a, your marriage is a really good thing. Or say to me, my sons, you're great dads. No, they need to hear that. They need to hear that I am proud of them. You need to hear that from people around you. But what a great privilege it is for a dad to say that. Little things of loving. It's not the same when your kids are older, but it's still there. to love your kids, to speak into their life is such a privilege. It's so important. So friends, if you have a good dad or not is not the point. If you're a parent today, take the influence of speaking into the lives of your kids. It's important to express that to them. There are two institutions God put in place. It wasn't church, actually. It was government and families. These are God's way of shaping society and ordering society. And your family is one of those ways. So, friends, can I encourage you dads to be a godly dad, to speak into your children, to love them and to influence them, not to beat them around the head, you know, and tell them they're wrong or whatever, but to be Christ to them. Yep, we honour you, dads, today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are our Heavenly Father and that you are loving and faithful and you express grace to us and that you are a long-suffering Father. We thank you for your presence and accept your love and your gracious spirit into our lives. And Lord, we just want to take the time here to say thank you for the people in our lives who have a godly influence, particularly those fathers who have been able to do that. We thank you for those people who invested in us. And we thank you for the fantastic dads here at Life Anglican. I pray, Lord, that you might bless all our families. May Jesus be the centre of all that we say and do. Would you please help the fathers here to continue to be a positive influence in the lives of their families and particularly their children. And we just want to say thank you for these dads here today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.